This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Sharing is caring, and for Tesla, it's a business opportunity. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Tesla is scheduled to report quarterly earnings after markets close today. Its sales fell in the second quarter, and it's had some trouble with supply chains, chip shortages, lockdowns in China. That's all slowed down production. But there's one major opportunity ahead for the electric car maker: opening up its network of fast car chargers to other brands. The White House actually was the one to announce Tesla's plans. Right now, the company's supercharger system only works with its own cars, but the company is piloting an adapter program in Europe to make those chargers universal. It could start rolling that out here later this year. Marketplace's Megan McCarty Carino has more.
With 35,000 superchargers, Tesla has the world's biggest network of fast chargers. They can add 200 miles of range to a car's battery in a matter of minutes rather than the hours it takes at a standard level 2 charger. That's been a big selling point for the brand, says Austin-based Tesla superfan Matthew Tower, who's taken his Model Y on multiple long road trips between California and Texas.
The supercharger network is just so reliable, and they're basically ubiquitous, so you never have to worry at all.
While other public charging networks are expanding, he says they're not quite there.
They're just kind of this ramshackle mishmash of different chargers that are often unreliable, broken, and just it's not a great experience.
But right now, if you don't drive a Tesla, your electric vehicle's port won't work with their superchargers. Giving all EV drivers access to this robust network would be a huge benefit for consumers and Tesla, says Sam Abu Al-Samed, an analyst at Guidehouse Insights.
They would be able to start charging and generating revenue from other drivers, which would help to offset the cost of operating that network.
According to the White House, Tesla is ramping up production of new fast chargers and will begin producing adapter systems for other cars later this year. By making the chargers universally accessible, Tesla could qualify for billions in federal infrastructure dollars meant to expand the nation's charging network, says Jessica Trancic at MIT.
I think this is a really great example of using government policy to nudge the private sector in a particular direction that's, you know, beneficial for society overall.
The Biden administration wants zero emission vehicles to make up half of all new car sales by 2030. But consulting firm McKinsey estimates that'll take a big increase in chargers, almost 20 times as many as the U.S. has now. I'm Megan McCarty Carino for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow and S&P futures are down about 0.1%. NASDAQ futures down less than 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.975%. Just about every big central bank in the world is fighting inflation, or gearing up to. That includes the European Central Bank, which hasn't raised rates since 2011, but it's expected to start this week. Here is the challenge, and it's a big one. The European Central Bank sets rates for all 19 countries that use the euro. That is 19 different economies with different levels of inflation and different rates of growth. What is good for one country is painful for another. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
No one much likes 40-year high inflation, not Americans and not Europeans. As inflation in the Eurozone has climbed, people have expressed their frustration from one end of the continent to the other, as reported on international TV networks WION and Euronews.
In Greece, thousands of workers take to the streets to protest against price hikes and energy costs that are...
Ireland has become one of the most expensive countries in Europe. Recent increases in fuel, food, rent and energy has left many workers with little disposable income.
But while the U.S. Federal Reserve has hiked rates aggressively in recent months to try to blunt inflation, the European Central Bank has hesitated, says Sam Stovall at CFRA Research.
The ECB is really behind the curve. Christine Lagarde is probably humming, "I'm joining the party and I'll cry if I want to."
He's talking about the ECB president, who he says is playing a high-stakes game, raising interest rates to slow growth and fight inflation, which risks sending Europe's economy into a severe recession. That's a danger for the Fed, too, says Liz Young at SoFi. But unlike the U.S., which came out of the pandemic with a strong economy pumped up by stimulus spending,
the economy in Europe is in a more delicate position and is facing much more direct risks from the Russia-Ukraine crisis.
Europe's supplies of oil, natural gas, and grain have all been disrupted, leading to sharp increases in food and energy prices. But Europe's inflation has so far been mostly limited to those items, says Adam Posen at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
It's not the kind of broader inflation we've seen in the U.S. It's not very much wage inflation. So the European Central Bank should be less aggressive about trying to contain inflation and more willing to wait it out.
And Christine Lagarde has one advantage over other central bank leaders, says Jay Hatfield at Infrastructure Capital Advisors.
Lagarde is a pretty powerful central banker, a little bit like a Greenspan almost. So she has the ability to kind of create her own path where she focuses more on keeping out of recession
and lets inflation run a little hotter while holding down interest rates enough to prevent an economic crisis across the continent. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.